Now, the first couple of Texas Radio. Here's Bill and Allison Mancaro.
Indeed we are, Bill and Allison. Good morning, Allison.
Good morning, Bill.
How are you this morning?
I'm okay.
Good.
I'm okay. Good. I'm still a little bit sleepy, but...
Really? Oh. Well, we have a lot for you today on the Bill and Allison Show. We have a big happy birthday salute. We've got a report about the Texas legislature, some very interesting things going on in the Texas legislature. But we like to begin our program with a verse. This is from the book of Deuteronomy. You will find the Lord if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. When you are in distress, when you turn to the Lord your God and obey his voice, for the Lord your God is a merciful God. Matthew Henry said, all the compassions of all the tender fathers in the world, compared with the tender mercies of our God, would be but as a candle to the sun or a drop in the ocean. Isn't that sweet?
That's very sweet.
Yeah.
Well, you talk about what's coming up. I'm going to have a quiz for you about per capita military spending that will shock the heck out of you and everybody else.
Really?
I imagine.
Okay. Well, I look forward to
that. I imagine.
But we are Bill and Allison. We're sometimes wrong.
But we're always right.
Always right. We are never PC. Politically correct.
We're always politically incorrect.
PI, politically incorrect. Pretty much always. Most important, we try to be BC, biblically correct. I'm a native Texan from the Panhandle. Even though I don't sound like it, I know that. It's because my parents kidnapped me when I was younger and actually went from...
I think he stole it. I think that's what Kinky Friedman uses.
Is that right? Well, he stole it from me. They took me to, when I was very young, believe it or not, we moved from Dalhart, Texas to New York City, Gramercy Park in New York City. And my parents told me I'm too young to remember that. I was too young to remember this. I still am too young to remember this, by the way. They said that one day I was so screwed up in my accent, having come directly from Texas. One day I said to them, do y'all want to go to the park? So apparently that was a lot funnier then than it was now. Anyway. There's a trigger warning. Allison and I do identify as non-binary, so everybody understands that. Of course, we all do at the Hill Country Patriot, which is, of course, your information station. Well, the Old Farmer's Almanac for November says...
Are you found an updated...
An updated one. It's going to be mild and wet for November. Mild and wet. In fact, the whole winter... is going to be mild and wet. The wet part and the mild part, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
We don't, you know, I like mild weather, and I like, certainly, we've learned to love the rain.
We moved here from Virginia, and we did not celebrate rain.
Virginia, it's overcast about 80% of the time, it seems.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
But here, that's not the case. So, but we're happy to. Allison and I used to work in Congress. That's why we didn't have to live in Virginia. We could have lived in Maryland, but I don't think so. So we lived in Virginia,
or
D.C.
we could have lived. I lived in D.C. for quite a while.
Yeah, you did. You did. I'm sorry to hear that, but you did. So we lived in Alexandria, Virginia. We both worked in the U.S. Congress, the U.S. House of Representatives, which is where we met.
Mm-hmm.
So we were there for many years, mm-hmm. and then were able to flee from that craziness and get to God's country, Hill Country. Well, we have a birthday celebration. Happy birthday to J.P. Richardson. Now, you might say, who's J.P. Richardson? Well, maybe you don't
even... Hello, baby!
Hello.
Yeah.
That's J.P. Richardson. Okay, bring it up, please. That's the Big Bopper.
Oh, you sweet thing.
Do I want? Will I want? Oh, baby, you know what I like.
Chantilly lace and a pretty face and a ponytail hanging down, wiggling a walk and a giggling a talk. Make the world go round. Ain't nothing in the world like a big-eyed girl to make me act so funny, make me spend my money, make me feel real loose like a long-necked goose, like a girl out there.
baby, that's what I like.
Yeah, that's the big bopper. J.P. Richardson from Port Arthur in Beaumont, Texas. A fellow radio broadcaster, actually. That was how he started. So in May 1957, he broke the record for continuous on-air broadcasting. He performed for a total of 5 days, 2 hours, and 8 minutes in the lobby of the Jefferson Theater in downtown Beaumont. He played 1,821 records, took showers during the five-minute newscast. The Big Bopper, J.P. Richardson, is also credited for creating the first music video in 1958. And it's Chantilly Lace, which we're listening to right now. It reached number 6 on the pop chart, spending 22 weeks in the national top 40. His best-known compositions include Chantilly Lace, Running Bear, and White Lightning, which became George Jones's first number one hit.
Oh, money, honey. Oh, all right, honey, you know what I like. Chantilly Lace
and a pretty face and a ponytail hanging down and a wiggle in a walk and a wiggle in a talk.
Low!
Makes the world go round, round, round.
Ain't a love it in the world like a big-eyed girl to make me act so funny.
Spend my money,
make me feel real loose
like a long-necked goose.
Like a girl. Oh, baby, that's what I like!
Yeah! The Big Bopper, Big Bopper. I'm sorry to say, though, he was killed in an airplane crash in Clear Lake, Iowa, along with Buddy Holly and Ritchie Valens. Very famous airplane crash. The day, and Roger Peterson, we should mention him, he was the pilot. The Day the Music Died, Don McLean's had that song, right? The Day the Music Died. So, happy birthday to the Big Bopper, J.P. Richardson. What you got, Allison? I know you're sitting there staring at me like you want to.
Well, I don't know if I should go into something heavy right now, but.
Oh, sad about well, that?
No, it's not sad.
Oh, well.
Well, I want to say, as listeners to the Bill and Allison show know, you know that communism is bad.
Yeah, we get that.
But here are major differences between capitalism and communism. Under capitalism, the Starbucks barista sometimes gets your order wrong. Under communism, there is no Starbucks.
That's true.
Under capitalism, going to the grocery store is such a chore. There are too many choices. Under communism, the bread lines only stock official government bread, trademarked, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to make any decision whatsoever. Simple.
That's good.
Under capitalism, you can feast on more delicacies than ancient kings could ever have imagined.
Mm.
Under communism, also true. Ha ha ha, just kidding.
Yeah, really.
You were dreaming of such things in Gulag.
Well, you know, you mentioned food and communism and socialism, and all, which is, socialism is communism light, and it's just the step toward communism.
Mm-hmm.
In most cases. Somebody once said, mice die in mouse traps because they don't understand why the cheese is free, just like socialism. Isn't that good?
Yeah, that's very good.
Yeah. You got others?
Yeah, I do. Huh. Under capitalism, people can enjoy millions of streaming TV shows and movies. Under communism, you get to watch the super most excellent life of Kim Jong-un, Happy Fun Hour. Every single day.
Oh, yeah.
Or you go to Gulag. Under capitalism, big tech companies spy on you on behalf of the government. Under communism, the government spies on you directly. Much more honest and efficient.
Well, yeah. I mean, the only thing, the only part of the government, of our government that listens is the NSA.
Yeah. Under capitalism, free enterprise has fostered unprecedented innovation and growth in industry, technology, and the arts. Under communism, the greatest technical innovation was the pickaxe for working in slave mines. Under capitalism, the national pastime is baseball. Under communism, the national pastime is beating enemies of the state with sticks. Which is kind of like baseball, but less boring.
I have not heard any of these. These are funny. These are funny.
Under capitalism, everyone owns his or her own automobile. I'm having trouble getting through these.
Yeah, I know you are.
Under communism, the village shares one ox cart. Also, the ox is dead and you're eating it for food. Also, you were just dreaming that you were eating an ox for food because you were in gulag. Under capitalism, healthcare costs like $50,000 for one Advil. Under communism, suicide is completely free.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we got some things going on in Texas that you need to know about. About 5,000 American auto workers shut down GM's plant, Texan auto workers, I should say, GM's biggest and most profitable plant this week in Arlington, Texas. They are joining more than 40,000 fellow UAW members in their ongoing strike.
Didn't they just reach an agreement?
They claim to have reached an agreement, okay, but we will see.
Okay.
They walked out of the GM assembly plant to join the UAW picket line. That plant produces, by the way, the Chevy Tahoe, Suburban, Yukon, the Cadillac Escalade. It's GM's most profitable plant in the United States, and they walked out. They shut it down.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know what they were asking for? Their goal, they wanted to get wages of $136 an hour.
Wow. What's that going to do to the price of vehicles?
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly.
Well, one of their big grievances is that this crazy push toward electric vehicles, you know, like all these automakers are saying, we're going to get rid of gasoline-powered vehicles, by 2030 and all this kind of stuff. The auto workers are concerned about their jobs. One auto worker on strike said, I think electric vehicles are going to wipe us out. He said, quote, electric vehicles don't need spark plugs. What else? Oil filters. We sell a lot of those. If we don't have all those parts, we don't have a lot to do. Of course, the Biden's EV mandates, which are included in the Inflation Reduction Act, that promises to shower billions of dollars of taxpayers' money on automakers by electric vehicle tax credits, but the money's not going to the workers, it's going to the companies and the heads of these companies who make millions and millions of dollars a year and stock options and all that. Well, there's been so much pressure on GM because of this strike, they are abandoning their goal to produce 500,000 electric vehicles in the next couple of years. They've abandoned that goal, they said. They're not going to be doing that. Yeah.
Well, I think it's because demand is down.
Well, demand is down, but they didn't announce this until the strike. And that's a big part of the strike. I mean, the strike, EV mandates, automakers are going to have to eliminate millions of American auto jobs and slash wages, or they would have if it hadn't been for the strike, I guess, because these EVs are a lot less labor to produce, and they have batteries sourced or produced in China in many cases.
Yeah, and the workers at the EV plants are paid a whole lot less.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Than the UAW workers.
I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. So they're not unionized in the EV plants.
No, they're not.
Oh.
They make about $45 an hour,
mm-hmm,
versus the UAW workers who are, you know, striking because they want to make $140.
Oh, wow. Okay. You know, I have a question for you, Allison.
Okay.
If your electric vehicle runs out of power in the interstate, do you walk to a gas station for a bucket of electricity?
No, you'd walk to an electric charger station for a bucket of
A bucket of electricity, yeah. That's a little issue, isn't it? They had, when we had the big freeze a couple 3 years ago, and cars were just stopped on Interstate 10 in Kerrville because a lot of them run out of gas, and there's, you know, once a bunch of them run out of gas, and then there's a traffic jam and everything, and they're, of course, it's freezing cold, so they're running heaters, and they tell you in electric vehicles, don't run your heater,
Right.
Because you're going to suck up the power.
Exactly. Exactly.
So what are you going to do in that situation? Turn off your heater when it's below freezing outside and it's in the teens.
Yeah.
And gas stations were coming around with gasoline for people to keep their vehicles running. But if you had an EV, that wasn't going to happen. The here's an interesting article on that subject. The complete costs, according to the Texas Public Policy Foundation, the complete costs of fueling an electric vehicle for 10 years are $17.33 per equivalent gallon of gasoline.
Wow.
Now, yeah, how do they calculate this with the real cost borne by taxpayers for subsidies, utility ratepayers, for all sorts of stuff figures into this, and it's but they say bottom line, it costs fueling the cost of to run an, let's put it this way, the cost of running an electric vehicle for 10 years are equivalent to paying $17.33 per gallon of gasoline.
Wow, that's I had not heard that. That's incredible.
I know.
That's incredible.
Isn't it? Isn't it something? Well, gasoline, by the way, we living in Texas as God's country. Texas has the third cheapest gasoline of any state.
What's one and two?
Georgia is the cheapest with $3.01 because they've eliminated their gasoline state gasoline tax.
Good for them.
Yeah. Texas should think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Mississippi is $3.02, and Texas is $3.03.
All right.
So make me happy through the years. Never bring me entertainers. Let your be as warm as sun from up above. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me.
Well, love that. That's the Jive Aces. We thought we'd have a little musical interlude for you as we roll along on the Bill and Allison Show. And I was talking about gasoline prices. The gasoline price, guess what, Allison, what is the highest state, what am I trying to say? The state with the highest gasoline prices.
I would assume California.
You are absolutely correct, sir, ma'am.
And I would assume Illinois. What, probably number two?
No, Illinois is not even in the top 10 list of prices. Well, let's see. Illinois. I don't know if I have Illinois. You always throw these things at me. No, I don't have Illinois.
Okay.
But California is the highest cost of gas, $5.39 for average cost per gallon of gas in California versus, $3.03 in Texas. So you're paying $2 and whatever. 30 cents, 35 cents more in California for every gallon of gas. So a $10, a 20 gallon fill up. Yeah, look at the difference.
Mm-hmm.
That's $40, $50, whatever my little brain says.
Mm-hmm.
So Hawaii has the second highest. Of course, California, the reason they have such high gas prices are taxes.
Exactly.
Through the roof. Hawaii is second, Washington State is third, Nevada is fourth, et cetera. But I do, you know, I mean, gas prices are higher than Hunter Biden. Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, I was just talking about comparing capitalism to communism a few minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
I ran across an interesting story. Lukoil, Russia's second largest oil company, said this week that its chairman had died suddenly at the age of 66. And they said, it's with deep regret that we announce the sudden passing of, you know, the chairman. According to the preliminary conclusion of doctors, death occurred as a result of acute heart failure. And this fellow had worked for almost 50 years in the oil and gas industry, and he had also held positions as the Lukoil's first vice president and advisor to the company's president. His immediate predecessor died just over a year ago after, get this, falling out of a hospital window.
What?
In Moscow.
What?
His death...
How do you fall out of a hospital window?
His death was confirmed by Lukoil, the oil company, in a statement that said he passed away following a severe illness, but made no mention of a fall. And this company, this oil company, Lukoil, produces more than 2% of the world's crude oil and employs more than 100,000 people. Made headlines in 2022 when it became one of only a few Russian companies to take a public stand on Moscow's invasion of Ukraine. They've been calling for the termination of the conflict in Ukraine. And since then, at least 8 prominent Russian businessmen have died suddenly in the months since the invasion. And in recent years, several Russian, this is different but the same, in recent years, several Russian dissidents have died mysteriously. And Yevgeny Prigozhin, who is a mercenary boss who turned his troops on Moscow.
I remember him.
Yeah, he died in a private plane crash near Moscow.
Mm-hmm. Well, they kill their opponents. You
know? Exactly.
They kill their opponents, just like we think other places.
Yeah, it's likely It's likely he was assassinated with a bomb or other form of sabotage that caused an explosion on the plane, and the other people were just collateral damage. Other people on the airplane.
Well, my cousin Marian Zianchek was a congressman from Seattle. Back in the 1930s and 40s, and he and his wife went to the, I can't remember the name of the building. It's still there, a famous building in downtown Seattle, and I think it's the Arctic Building or something like that. Anyway, he and his wife, he was driving, and he parked the car on the curb, on the sidewalk, and on the street. I don't know where I'm going with this. Anyway, he parked the car right outside of his office and told his wife he was going to run upstairs to get some papers and he'd be right back. Well, he was back sooner than anyone expected. He came flying out of the window and crashed onto the car right in front. And it was a horrible thing, of course, with his wife there. It was ruled a suicide. So the family never believed that, of course. But that can happen, you know. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, Alice and I are going to be asking you a related question. What president murdered a man? Now, think about that during the break. What president murdered a man? And we're not talking about the Clintons here, believe it or not. What president actually, well-known, murdered a man? We're Bill and Allison on the Hill Country Patriot, your information station. We're going to be back after this quick break.
Welcome back. We're Bill and Allison, Hill Country Patriot, first couple of TexasRadio.com. Join us anytime.
That's where you can listen to our previous shows, download them to your favorite digital device, take a walk with them, take a bicycle ride, car ride, just listen as you're bathing in the shower, swimming, whatever.
Okay. Yeah.
You can do all that stuff. But we have fun with the show, and we hope you do, too. Well, before the break, we asked you which president killed a man, and we said it was not Bill Clinton. No comment on that. But the president was Andrew Jackson. Andrew Jackson, in 1806, he shot and killed Charles Dickinson in a duel. Charles Dickinson.
I was going to say it was a duel. I couldn't remember which one, but I knew it was a duel.
It was a duel, and as I recall from just a little factoid, Charles Dickinson had insulted Andrew Jackson's wife, called her a easy lady. I don't know how what to use on the air. But,
really?
Yeah. And Jackson, so he challenged him to a duel, and he killed him.
Wow.
And of course, well, you know of a famous duel in American history, more famous than that duel, actually.
Alexander Hamilton and Aaron Burr.
Exactly right, Allison. You go to the head of the class. Yeah, Aaron Burr killed Alexander Hamilton in a duel. And what happened there, I think, I'm going back on memory again.
Yeah, we haven't studied up.
No, no, I'm just thinking
this
about
is that. Totally off the cuff.
Yeah, I think what happened in that duel was in New Jersey, and
And back in those days, they had dueling grounds.
Oh yeah,
so exactly. So it was on dueling grounds.
Dueling grounds in New Jersey, and I think what happened is that.
Oh, I think it was. He fired too soon?
I believe there was a misfire.
Yeah, I think.
And if there's a misfire, the duel is immediately canceled, but Aaron Burr fired twice.
Mm-hmm.
I think Aaron Burr's gun misfired, and Hamilton said, oh, the duel is over. His gun misfired. But then Burr shot him. So basically murdered him. Aaron Burr murdered Alexander Hamilton. A little factoid for you to know. We've got some... interesting news. Almost, this is very good news, actually. A Texas school district in San Antonio removed pornographic books after the Twitter, now called X, site Libs of TikTok exposed it.
Well, good for them.
Yeah. Almost 60,000 students will not be checking out pornographic books. Thanks to Libs of TikTok. It was the Northeast ISD in San Antonio. And Libs of TikTok contacted the executive director of communications for the district in San Antonio, Aubrey Chancellor. And she was right on it. Good for you, Aubrey Chancellor. Thank you. She said, quote, to Libs of TikTok, upon receiving your email, we immediately contacted each campus librarian to gauge their process addressing the books that were identified. We have promptly removed all of them.
Good for them.
Absolutely, absolutely. Every single book is gone out of the San Antonio Northeast ISD, Northeast Independent School District. Thank you, Aubrey Chancellor, and Regina Perez, Administrative Assistant. Thank you very much. You know, I've often wondered, you know, when you talk sexually at work, it's called sexual harassment. But if you talk about sexuality to kindergartners at school, that's education. A little hypocrisy there, I'd say.
Well, probably most of us are familiar with rock legend Alice Cooper.
Of course.
And he said, I find it wrong when you've got a six-year-old kid who has no idea. He just wants to play and you're confusing him, telling him, yeah, you're a boy, but you could be a girl if you want to be. I think that's so confusing to a kid. It's even confusing to a teenager.
Well, that's a good point.
That's from Alice Cooper.
Oh, I think that's a very, very good point. You know, people. Well, you got to wonder. I mean, if you can't buy a gun until you're what, 21, you can't drink alcohol until you're older. You know, all sorts of different things you're not allowed to do. But. You can change your gender if you're 5 years old.
Yeah,
I mean that's insane. Yeah. They're not mature enough to change their gender, for crying out loud.
Exactly.
You know, so that's crazy stuff.
Well, you know, recently we here in Hill Country had our annual Ring of Fire eclipse.
Well, absolutely. It was fantastic.
I know a lot of people are confused. They think annual means annual every year, but no, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
It refers to the shape of the eclipse. But it's commonly called Ring of Fire, and that was really, really excellent to see.
Oh, and the Lord provided beautiful, clear weather.
Beautiful, clear weather.
Because it was cloudy the day before. And then
Exactly. And there had been some... forecasts that it could be cloudy, which would have, you know, really totally obscured it. As a matter of fact, I sent some information to a friend of ours in another part of the country, and he said he was not able to see it because of the overcast. But anyway, less than six months from now, stargazers will swarm our area, Hill Country, to watch a total solar eclipse as it casts a shadow of total darkness. The Hill Country will be among the best places to witness this rare celestial event on April the 8th. It's because we lie squarely in the path of totality, where the moon will completely block the sun. Now, most of San Antonio will be just outside totality. But if you're thinking about making this trip, you better act now. The list of available Hill Country accommodations is getting shorter and pricier by the day. Hotels.com lists just 17 rooms, and this is for next April.
In what geographical area?
From Leon Springs to Fredericksburg, which is an area of about 55 miles, for the night of April the 8th. Dozens of other hotels are totally sold out, and what is available is not cheap. The Bevy Hotel in Burnie, for example, has one room left as of earlier this week. I got this information from the San Antonio Express News earlier this week. The Bevy Hotel in Burnie has one room left at $2,449. Normally it would be $258.
Wow.
Yeah. Or, let's see. Motel 6 is the only hotel still accepting reservations in Kerrville, which, by the way, is the premier viewing destination, where NASA will host a watch party, where they will have scientist speakers, live music, and a front row seat for the eclipse 4.5 minutes. Mm-hmm. Admission to the festival is free, but one of the six remaining rooms at the Motel 6 will cost
$900. $900 to stay at a Motel 6.
Go a week earlier in the same room is $70.
Wow.
The cheapest option on hotels.com is the Fairfield Inn and Suites by Marriott in Burnie, where the five available rooms start at $359.
Well, that's cheap compared to what else is going on. I've heard people renting out... renting out rooms in their house, and the other day somebody told me about the person in Fredericksburg renting out a cabin for $10,000.
Well, apparently there's a cabin in Ingram that's going to cost $10,000 for a one-night stay.
Oh, okay, Ingram as well.
Right. And a farmhouse in Center Point, which is normally $500, is $6,000. And I've also heard that several of these things, which are from $6,000 to $10,000 per night, have a minimum of several nights.
Oh, so you what, $10,000 a night, and you think a minimum of three mm-hmm. nights or something?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, come on,
mm-hmm.
$30,000.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Well, I don't mean to disparage the eclipse, but you know, it gets dark every night.
It's a jeez. Okay, if you don't want to pay that much money, you could always stay in San Antonio, but be prepared for heavy traffic.
Oh, yeah.
Or you could watch the eclipse mid-air. Southwest Airlines has announced that several of its flights are likely to offer travelers a unique view of this spectacular event. That would be really cool.
Unless you have an aisle seat.
That's true.
Wow. And how many people did you mention that? How many people are expected?
Well, the most recent estimate that I've heard for our area, I mean, not just Hill Country, but from San Antonio through Hill Country, is an influx of about 700,000 people.
Oh, my gosh.
And we are being advised to get groceries, stock up on groceries a couple weeks in advance. And we are having friends from out of town come stay with us, and I've told them you're stuck with my home cooking because we aren't going to be going to restaurants.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, it's I don't know if Allison, I don't know how many people have heard about this, but the UFC has I say UFC all the time and think about it. I don't think about what it stands for, Universal Fighting Championship or something like that. Anyway, everybody calls it the UFC. And they've got a... A lot of people are calling for a boycott of the USC. And the reason is they are teamed up with Bud Light. They were paid by Bud Light $100 million to be their primary beer sponsor of the UFC. And, of course, we know what happened with Bud Light, with this fairy, Dylan, what's his name?
Dylan Mulvaney.
He's a cartoon character is what he is, mm-hmm. claims to be a girl. And the executive in charge of advertising of Transheiser-Busch called her own customers fratty and uncool, and she wanted to, Bud Light beer drinkers, they're a bunch of rednecks and NASCAR fans, and, we don't want them. We want to upscale the brand. Well, how's that going for you? I think I met her at the other day. She asked me a question. She said, you want fries with that? Since she no longer works for Transheiser-Busch. But Bud Light, of course, was toppled as America's best-selling beer. It's still on a downward sales trajectory. So it's trying to reassert its standing. So they paid off UFC with a six-year deal worth $100 million. It's going to be the official beer of the UFC. Here's the head of UFC, Dana White. He said he chose to align UFC with Bud Light and Transheiser-Busch because they share the same values. He said, there are many reasons why I chose to go with, their name, Anheuser-Busch, and Bud Light, most importantly, because I feel we are very aligned when it comes to our core values. Here is Dana White in his own words.
I know all the controversy and everything else, but for myself, going into a long-term deal with another sponsor, I want to be with somebody that I'm actually aligned with.
Yeah. That's a lot of people are calling for a boycott of the UFC because of that, because of their intensive $100 million payoff that they got from Bud Light. So we'll be watching that. And by the way, I think I've got something here. Where have we got? Oh, yeah. More on that. Clay Travis said, nobody's drinking Bud Light at any tailgate I've been to this fall. The brand is dead. Lighting that money, the $100 million, on fire would have been less embarrassing than what's about to happen. Fighters are going to hate this. Fans will hate it. The customers are not coming back. Of course, that's Clay Travis, who's on the Hill Country Patriot, your information station, every weekday. Along with Buck Sexton. The current UFC middleweight champion, Sean Strickland, he wrote on Twitter, quote, to be rich and famous, you used to have to be exceptional. Go to the moon, win a championship, cure a disease. But now you only have to wear a dress, make a TikTok, and bam, you're on a Bud Light can. And Dana White is fighting back. Dana White, people are trashing Dana White for giving Bud Light as his new UFC partner. A lot of people have said White was a sellout. The deal was a slap in the face to UFC fans, calling for a boycott. Well, Dana White has doubled down on that. He says people who are criticizing him are, quote, dummies, quote, a-holes, although he didn't quite say it that way.
So he's referring to their fans that way?
He's referring to UFC fans who criticize his being paid off by Bud Light. Dummies, a-holes, and effing stupid for their opposition. Wow. I think somebody's effing stupid, but I think it's Dana White. He said, my new sponsorship deal is all about the money. Well, of course all sponsorship deals are about money. But then he said, this wasn't about money for me. First he said it was about money, and then he says it wasn't about money. And then he reiterated. He doubled down again. He said he signed on with Bud Light because the company, Anheuser-Busch, values align with his own. Okay, well, what's happened is, okay, the company that owns Anheuser-Busch is called AB InBev. I think it's a, not in bed.
It's, I think it's a Belgian company.
Belgian company. Mm-hmm. Thank you. You're right. AB InBev, mm-hmm. in beverages.
BEV.
They've been funding for years. In fact, decades, they've been funding radical LGBT, gay activists who are spreading their agenda throughout schools directly to America's children. They've been funding them for decades. It's a lot of beer drinkers are just saying, we're going to Modelo, we're going to Yingling, right?
Mm-hmm.
Going to Yingling.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's Yingling's great beer. We never had Yingling before.
Mm-mm.
I didn't.
No, we hadn't.
Where you grew up, you had Yingling, but I didn't.
Okay.
Didn't have it. It was a new brand to me. So I wasn't aware of that. But that's what's going on. And speaking of beer, how do you pronounce this Chinese beer name?
Qingdao.
Qingdao. Okay, Tsingtao. Okay, but it's Qingdao. Okay. Well, a video came out of a worker in China, a brewery worker at Qingdao, on a surveillance video. He didn't know it was on the video. He was urinating into a tank of beer ingredients. I don't know. What are you thinking? What are you thinking? So I won't be drinking any Qingdao. One guy said, he said, I've always thought Qingdao tasted like horse's piss, but I guess I was wrong.
Well, and people say normally the beer makes you need to pee, but now it's a little different take on that.
That's really funny, Allison. That's really funny. Well, I've got 5:36. Is that our? No, that's not it.
Welcome back. We're Bill and Allison. Country Patriot, first couple of TexasRadio.com.
We are indeed back on your information station. We cover the entire Hill Country. If you can hear us on the air, you're in Hill Country. Mm-hmm. Of course, you can hear us on HillCountryPatriot.com when we're live on the air. And also, as Allison said, first couple of TexasRadio.com, mm-hmm. which is where we have our shows, but you can just to download 24/7,
mm-hmm.
right? Listen to them online, whatever
mm-hmm.
you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But go ahead.
No, you.
Well, I'm done.
Oh, okay. Well, I was going to say, here's a sad story. Panera Bread was sued by the family of a college student with a heart condition who died after drinking a Panera Bread's charged lemonade, which contains more caffeine than a can of Monster and Red Bull combined.
He died from a caffeine.
He died.
Caffeine can kill you? No, caffeine
overdose? He had a heart condition.
Oh.
So, I mean, if he knew that he had a heart condition, he should, not drink.
We don't know the facts.
Stuff like that. Right. Right. Yeah. Oh, but the family is suing.
So you got to be careful of that. What's the name of what he drank?
Charged lemonade.
I never heard of it.
But well, we don't go to Panera Bread. We don't go to Panera Bread.
Yeah,
so
it's not something I'd be doing. I see that this is an interesting story. That Western secular Jews have always been left wing, but after the what's happened in Israel and the reaction of the Democrats has been turning Jews toward Republicans, because the left has been basically, a lot of them, defending Hamas.
Exactly.
And defending the beheading of infants.
Mm-hmm.
And liberal secular Jews who all, as a bulk, as a block, have always for years voted Democrat. Now polls are showing a lot of them are turning mm-hmm. away from the Democrat Party because the Democrat Party has been taken over by the hardcore left. And this woke stuff. So it's It's a very interesting story. It's, where did I see it? Breitbart. The Times of London, New York Times, have all featured pieces detailing how secular Jews in the West are shocked and repulsed by the left-wing Democrats, basically defending Hamas or refusing to condemn it.
So, exactly. Well, and of course, there's Greta Thunberg, who's telling us that we should support Hamas.
Please.
You saw that, didn't you?
Yeah, I saw a headline. I didn't bother to read the article.
Well, I didn't. Well, it was like two lines was what I read.
Yeah. She's a nutcase, I tell you.
Well, she's a child who shouldn't be promoted the way she is.
Why do we listen to a child?
Exactly. That's the point. That's the point. Why do we listen to a child?
Well, it's when you listen to Greta Thunberg, you're not listening to a child. She's saying things that people have given her to say.
Well, exactly. I
mean, obviously, she's not. You know, she's reading what her handlers say, her hardcore left-wing handlers. Well, we're going to be back after a news break, are we not, Allison?
Yes, we are.
All right, you're the timekeeper.
I'm going to tell you things that you might not know about the pyramids and how I grew up playing in Indian burial grounds.
Oh, now that's a weird thing. Playing in Indian burial grounds. We'll be back also with Texas, or I'm sorry, Hill Country events that you'll want to know about. We're Bill and Allison. We'll be back after this news break.
Now, the first couple of Texas radio. Here's Bill and Allison Mancaro.
Welcome back.
We are back indeed. Allison, we've got so much to cover, so many things going on.
I know we do.
Well, why don't we get right to it? Okay. Now, you promised before the break to tell us about how you played in Indian graveyards.
I did, growing up. Well, first, I want to talk about the pyramids in Egypt. The Great Pyramids in Egypt, we've always been told that they were built by slaves, but in reality, most archaeologists and historians today think that paid laborers, not enslaved people, built the pyramids.
Why would they use paid laborers when they had slaves?
Well, I don't know. But what they've discovered is that a lot of the builders were buried in a place of honor in tombs close to the pyramids themselves, furnished with supplies for the afterlife, which was what they did in the pyramids. Mm-hmm. And they would not done that for slaves.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
And pyramids, I'm sure most everybody knows that pyramids are burial grounds. I mean, that's where...
Actually, I didn't know that.
You didn't, no. You didn't realize that?
I thought they were just decorative or something.
Serious? This is obviously unscripted. Serious?
No, I didn't know they were burial mounds. I thought they were just things.
No, they're massive royal tombs.
Oh. Okay. But the Great Pyramid, they've never found a tomb in there, have they?
Oh, I believe so.
Oh, I don't think they have. Just to check that.
Okay.
Obviously, we don't do our homework before we come on the air.
No. That's where they buried people.
Okay. All right.
Not just everyday people or, you know, like slaves and that sort of thing. Okay. But apparently they were built by people who were actually paid.
Hmm.
Probably weren't paid a lot. Well, and I was going to say, along that same subject, what I referred to, I grew up playing in Indian burial grounds.
Where are we going with this?
I grew up just outside of where I grew up was Mound City, City of the Dead, and it's now called, they've you know, like, yuppified it. It's now called the Hopewell Cultural National Historical Park.
So you grew, when people say, where are you from, you say the City of the Dead? Is that where you grew up?
Well, just outside the City of the Dead.
I see.
And the remnants of the Hopewell Indian culture are concentrated in the Scioto River Valley near Chillicothe, Ohio, which is my hometown. And these earthen mounds and embankments form huge geometric enclosures. And the most striking sites contain earthworks in the forms of circles, squares, and other geometric shapes. And I took you out there to see it.
Mm-hmm. I do remember that.
Many of these were built with earthen walls up to 12 feet high, and they outlined geometric figures more than 1,000 feet across. And they have conical and leaf-shaped earthen mounds up to 30 feet high. And the park was originally established in 1923 and was the first federally created National Park Service in Ohio. Hmm. And their mounds, and well, that's where the mounds, did I make that clear? The mounds were where they buried people. Hmm. Oh, yeah, the mounds were.
I thought they buried them in pyramids.
that was in Egypt. In Ohio, they buried them in mounds.
Oh, okay.
And, so these mounds were where they buried people. Hmm. And there was even, right in town, like in a neighborhood, there was a mound.
Ooh. I assume they're all protected. You can't just go dig them up and stuff.
You know, I think when I was a kid, you could probably climb on them. But I guarantee you today you can't.
Yeah.
But I don't recall climbing on one, but I'll bet you could back then. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, that's where they buried people. Mm-hmm. They didn't dig holes in the ground. They built mounds.
Well, the Indians of the West, you may know, Comanches and such, Cherokees, buried their dead, their honored dead. I don't know about everybody who died, but certainly their honored dead. They didn't bury them, but they put them on platforms. Raised platforms. Do you not know that? Yeah, it's true. See, when you watch Gunsmoke, you'll learn a lot about customs.
Oh, that's where you learn. That's where I've got it. Learn your history.
But I actually, it is true. It is true.
Well, were they like covered up? The bodies
of course,
covered up?
Of course.
Oh, I thought you meant they were out in the open.
No. They were all covered up. But that was what they did.
Huh.
So, yeah. How about that? You know, Luke was talking about Speaker of the House, Texas House, Dade Phelan, and how he appoints Democrats to be chairman of committees in the House, even though the Republicans have a majority. He's basically thwarting the will of the voters, because the voters have elected a Republican majority, and that doesn't work. I don't know if any other state does that, but certainly Alice and I used to work in the United States House of Representatives in Washington, D.C. And I can tell you that, as Luke said, if a Republican speaker appointed Nancy Pelosi or any Democrat to the chairman of a committee, they'd be tossed out on their ear. But Dade Phelan, the Speaker of the Texas House, made a deal with Democrats to stay in power because he needs their votes, because if he loses too many Republican votes, he won't be reelected Speaker. So he gets the Democrats say, well, we'll vote for you for Speaker as long as you do what these things we want you to do. Be soft on the border and kill this bill and kill that bill. And I would think Dade Phelan has got to feel really bad inside about himself, that he is such a sellout. And I think it might come out in certain ways. Just speculating here, might come out in certain ways. If you felt really bad about yourself, really guilty, you might turn to, say, alcohol to numb your conscience. Well, we have a 1 minute clip,
mm-hmm.
of Speaker Dade Phelan presiding over the Texas House, and you tell me. If you think he sounds normal.
Mr. Johnson's Senate amendment, the amendment is not acceptably altered. The question occurs on the adoption of the amendment. This is a record vote. The clerk ring the bell. Should Mr. Kimble voting nay? Mr. Johnson and Harris voting aye. Should Mr. King of Hempel voting nay? Mr. Kimble, Senate amendment, the amendment is acceptably altered. Is there objection to the adoption of the amendment? The chair has none. The amendment is adopted. The chair recognizes Mr. Johnson of Harris. Mr. Johnson of Harris to speak in opposition to the bill. The chair recognizes Ms. Niave Criado to speak in opposition to the bill.
Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the Senate to inform the House that the Senate has taken the following action.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Members may want to hear this announcement. Mr. Guerin moves the House adjourn until Monday at 1 p.m. Is there objection? The chair hears none. The House stands adjourned.
That's your Speaker of the Texas House, Dade Phelan. You tell me if that sounds normal to you. Oh, we just got about 3 minutes and 40 seconds to go to a break.
Well, I have a quiz for
just
Bill.
To let you know that.
I have a quiz for Bill.
You do?
I do.
Okay. Lay it on me, baby. Which, I have not heard any of these, by the
which
way.
Which country in the world spends the most per capita on its military? As is not... total military budget. It's per capita. And the United States, Israel, China, or Qatar?
Is Qatar a country?
Yes, Qatar is a country.
Oh, that's Q-A-T-A-R.
Q-A-T-A-R, yes. Qatar.
I always thought it was Qatar or something.
I know.
So what are my choices?
The United States, Israel, China, or Qatar?
Well, I'm tempted to say China. But you said per capita, and they
per
have,
capita.
They have a lot of capitas in China. Mm-hmm. They have more capitas than any other country. Per capita, I would say Israel has the largest military expenditure per capita.
Mm-hmm. And actually, Israel was my first guess.
Okay. So am I right?
However, we're both wrong.
Okay. The United States, then.
No, not the United States.
China. It's got to be China.
Not China.
Well, the other choice was
Qatar.
Qatar?
The correct answer is Qatar.
Q-U-A-T-A-R. Qatar.
Q-A-T-A-R.
Spends more money per capita than... Well, maybe because they have the fewest people. Maybe that's it of those four. Wow.
There are conflicts raging in Europe and the Middle East. And so it's... it's important to get a fuller understanding of military spending.
Okay. We got another one because we only got a couple minutes to go here.
But there's a surprising disparity. Qatar spends, their per capita spending is $3,955.
Per person?
Per capita. That's what that means.
I know. But yeah.
Israel is $2,769.
Okay.
The United States is... 2,405.
Okay. Fascinating.
I thought so.
Have you got another question, or is that it?
That's it.
That's my quiz question, and I got it wrong. So I get an F. I'm 0 for 1.
But it was a good guess.
I thought it was.
Yeah,
I thought it was.
I mean, who would have guessed Qatar?
Not me, and not you, apparently.
No. I took the quiz myself before I gave it to you.
Well, okay. We've got a lot of things coming up in the next few minutes, right after a short break. We're going to be talking about events coming up in the Hill Country, what you need to know about, and stuff you and your family can enjoy. So stay with Bill and Allison on the Hill Country Patriot, your information station. We'll be back after a quick message.
Welcome back. We're Bill and Allison.
Rolling along on a Saturday morning. You can join us every Saturday morning from
8 to 10.
8 to 10 a.m. And
you can find us online at firstcoupleoftexasradio.com.
Yeah.
Just this week, you've probably heard about this, but words from the National Hurricane Center. A nightmare scenario is unfolding onto Acapulco. Otis was supposed to hit Acapulco, Mexico, as a tropical storm, which, you know, everybody knows is, okay, that's a lot of wind and rain. But instead, it made landfall this past Wednesday as a Category 5 hurricane, and that is the highest category of hurricanes. And it stunned the scientists who'd been tracking it. Just before it reached land, it passed over a pocket of hot ocean and making it much stronger than anyone had time to prepare for. the models completely blew it, and at least 27 people were killed, and Ooh. Several remain missing. And with hurricanes, unlike tornadoes, where we live, hill country, you know, we get tornadoes.
Right.
We can, although we are fortunate, we really don't get a lot of really bad weather, but we can get tornadoes, and tornadoes are not predicted. You know, just all
well,
this.
You don't know.
You don't know.
Minutes, a few minutes.
Well,
a couple
exactly.
Minutes warning.
Yeah. But hurricanes, there's usually several days warning, so you know when a hurricane is coming. So people pack up and leave, or some people stay. Which we've had friends who do that when they. We have a good friend in Florida. The sheriff knocked on his door and said, "You need to evacuate." And our friend did not. He stayed. He stayed. He lived on a barrier island, and he stayed for the hurricane. But yeah.
Well, like, the worst part of a hurricane is not necessarily the hurricane itself, but it's the aftermath. You don't
exactly.
have any electricity. You don't have any water. It could go on for days or weeks.
Yeah, yeah. We were down in Rockport after was it Harvey? Hurricane Harvey?
I believe so.
And we were there.
We weren't there for the hurricane.
No. We were there a week after, and still there was no electricity.
Stoplights weren't working.
Well, which yeah. because there was no electricity, and it was just really interesting to us, you know, because we had always heard in the news and seen coverage of hurricanes, but we'd never actually experienced the aftermath of one, and that's the bad part.
We saw a house.
Oh yeah.
Where only the one wall of the four walls was gone. It was a two-story house, and you could see the furniture, you could see the mm-hmm. Kitchen table, mm-hmm. you could see the cupboards with stuff in them, untouched. But the hurricane just took that one wall off. Mm-hmm. It was the most bizarre thing.
And we that was immediately after the hurricane, a week after, and then we went down maybe a month later, and a lot of cleanup had been done by then. And we were in a neighborhood that we were very familiar with. We thought, we were driving down the street, and we thought, where are we? And we realized it was because there were houses that were totally gone.
We had no landmarks.
Yeah, we had no landmarks.
It's very weird. Very weird. Well, we've got coming up on a woke alert for you. That's the sound of the Bill and Allison Woke Alert. We find the weirdest, stupidest woke thing that's happened, and believe me, it's not easy to pick among them. But this one we titled "Why You Don't Want to Live in Oregon," the state of Oregon. The state of Oregon's miseducation establishment, you know, okay, education establishment, they've gone to the logical extreme of woke leftism by ruling that school kids no longer have to learn to read, write, or do math because minorities aren't capable of learning that boring old white supremacist stuff.
Wow.
What?
Yep. See, they are the ones who are racists. They just assume that black people are stupid.
Yeah, yeah. The state board, the Oregon State Board of Education, has thrown out all standards for reading, writing, and math because, in their words, the standards harm minorities. They're racists.
Mm-hmm.
Flat out
exactly.
racists.
Exactly.
Of course, they only harm minorities because Oregon's education establishment doesn't bother to try to teach it to them in the first place.
Right.
Really? Really? So we're literally turning out millions of idiots from our schools because liberals think learning things is racist and that minorities cannot learn them.
Right.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, I mean, conservatives are accused of being racist, but no, it's the liberals.
Oh, who 100%.
Just make the assumption that blacks are stupid.
Blacks, minorities are stupid.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Except Asians.
No. I think they discriminate against Asians because Asians are so smart.
Are so smart.
That's and what I'm and saying. They're getting so many jobs and spots in schools.
It's been revealed that they've changed Asians' SAT scores and lowered them.
Right. Right.
The SAT board does that.
Right. Right. Because they were doing.
Yeah.
So well.
Well, here's the state song of Texas, and we're going to be back with the Bill and Allison Show. And we have Why You Don't Want to Live in Oregon, Part 2, coming up.
God bless you, Texas, and keep you brave and strong, that you may grow in power and word throughout the ages long. God bless you, Texas, and keep you brave and strong, that you may grow in power and word throughout the ages long.
Welcome back. We're Bill and Allison. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. Hello, Bill.
Well, I expect you to pick...
You're what, reading the newspaper? What were you doing?
I expect you to pick up the pace, man.
What were you doing over there?
Cover for me when I'm away from the microphone. Gee, many Christmas. Oh, we're going to go on Promise Before the Break. Why you don't want to live in Oregon? Why we don't live in Oregon? We live in God's country. Part two. Part two. Before the break, we talked about their educational system, how they're getting rid of all standards for reading, writing, and math because minorities
Reading, writing, arithmetic.
And arithmetic. Thank you. Because minorities just can't handle them, according to them. Of course, they don't teach them. Maybe that's part of the reason. It's been discovered that the SAT board lowers the scores of Asians and increases the scores of minorities, just arbitrarily. Mm-hmm. You know, it takes a couple hundred points off whatever it is.
Exactly.
Isn't that outrageous?
Yeah.
Outrageous? Yeah. Well, here's part two, why you don't want to live in Oregon. An Oregon mother of five was denied an adoption of two young children in need. After she revealed to the state that her Christian religion would not allow her to take those children in for a sex change if they decided to become transgendered.
Wow.
Now, there are thousands of orphan children in need across Oregon, but the mother was told by the state she must agree to whatever the adopted children demand concerning their sexuality, even if it means cutting off body parts.
So the children had not...
No.
...expressed...
No.
An interest in doing this?
No. No.
Wow.
The rule is if you want to adopt a child in Oregon, you have to agree that if the kid says they're transgender, you know, you're cut off their weenie or whatever.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Oregon has declared itself officially to be a sanctuary state where underage children from around the world can come to get abortions and sex changes without parental consent.
Wow.
Yeah. What happened to this woman, her name is Jessica Bates. She lost her husband to a car accident several years ago. She's the birth mother of five children between the ages of 10 and 17, and she said she felt inspired to adopt two more children based on the Bible's commandment in James to visit orphans and widows in their affliction. She was told that the state of Oregon mandated that if she wanted to adopt, you have to unequivocally support a child's desire to become transgender. You have to allow a child to dress however they want. You have to take them, according to the Nazis in Oregon, you have to take your children to a pride parade.
Wow.
You have to.
Wow.
It's a handout of the Resource and Adoptive Family Program of the state of Oregon. Quote, respecting a child's gender identity and expression is very important. Prospective adoptees must always ask someone for their pronouns because, quote, there are an infinite number of pronouns as new ones emerge in our language. An infinite number of pronouns!
Wow.
And this brochure that they're given to prospective adoptive parents... Parents should never force their adopted children to attend activities, including religious activities, this is all a quote, that are unsupportive of people with diverse sexual orientation, gender identity, and expression.
Wow.
So you can't take them to church.
Yeah.
If you go to a church that disapproves of this stuff. Plus, officially, if you adopt a child in Oregon, you have to, quote, provide access to a variety of books, movies, and materials, including those that positively represent same-gender relationships. Quote, display rainbow flags and other messages and images in your home.
Oh, my God.
So Oregon is overriding any adoptive parent's religious liberty. It's deciding for them you can't take your entire family to church because that contradicts the state's religion.
Wow.
Oregon would prefer to keep over 5,000 children in foster care every day than certify an otherwise well-qualified home.
Wow.
Isn't that something? So that's part two of Bill and Allison's series of why you don't want to live in Oregon and why we don't and why we never will.
Exactly. Exactly. You
know? I don't know. Allison, did you hear about the guy who followed a girl into the bathroom claiming that he identified as a woman? The man's teeth were knocked out by the girl's father. He said he identifies as the tooth fairy. You gotta love it. Gotta love it. What you got, Ellen?
Well, just this week, the world's oldest dog passed away at the age of 31 years and 165 days.
Oh, my gosh. 31 years?
Yeah, 35 years and 165 days. So that's a year and a half. I'm sorry, 31.
31 and a half years.
Yeah, 31 years. But he lived a healthy, anxiety-free life, and he was a purebred Ruffero de Alentejo dog.
Yeah, I see you practiced that before.
No, I didn't look it up. I saw a picture of him, and he was a large breed, mm-hmm. which is unusual because normally large dogs... Large breed dogs do not live very long.
They don't live as long as small breed dogs, generally.
Exactly.
And then this dog, too, I've read the story, too, about the diet.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. This dog ate people food.
And
which I've always heard that eating people food is bad for dogs. But this dog proved that, no, that's not true.
Well, one story I read, a veterinarian, I don't know, you know, I'm just saying. What the veterinarian said is it's okay to give dogs people food. You never mm-hmm. give dogs chocolate. That's mm-hmm. poisonous to them. You never give them garlic. Don't give them nuts. Those are all poisonous to them. But there's other things, too, but those are the ones that come to mind. But he said, no. He said, give them scrambled eggs. That's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, healthy people food is fine for dogs. Mm-hmm. And this dog is proof of that, I guess,
well,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So, you know, make sure your dog gets vaccinated. Mm-hmm. Annual vaccinations, except there's one that I think they call it the five-way vaccine that doesn't have to be every year. It's for five different diseases. Make sure, as we've said on the Bill and Allison Show many times, make sure your animals, whether they're livestock or pets, protect them from the heat.
I was just going to say, here in Hill Country, where we get over 100 degrees, make sure your pet is either in the house or protected from the heat.
Absolutely. So some of the ways...
I mean, that's a major stressor.
Yeah. Well, they did say in this article that one of the reasons they think the dog lived so long is that he lived a stress-free life.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very calm home.
Exactly.
Very calm home, uh-huh. not exposed to arguments and things like that. There were other pets in the home. I saw the dog playing with a cat in the home, so he had other animal interactions as well. So... Well, time flies like an arrow. Fruit flies like a banana. Chew on that one for a while. We are Bill and Allison on the Hill Country Patriot, your information station. Stay tuned for Clay and Buck coming up. So don't leave us, but come back to hear us next Saturday between 8 and 10 in the morning. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. And He will direct your paths.